The author, Scott Hahn, has a book about the sacraments called A Father Who Keeps His Promises. It's a good book. I think when any of us hear a statement like that, it doesn't matter whether we've had good or bad experiences with our own fathers or mothers or others, we instinctively want that to be true. And if we don't let cynicism get the best of us, it can inspire us to want to be people who keep our promises too. The first reading from the book of Joshua illustrates how the Father kept his promises to the Israelites. He brought them out of slavery in Egypt. He led them through the wilderness for 40 years, where he made a covenant with them, entered into a relationship with them, gave them food and drink. In particular, they ate the bread from heaven, the manna, and they drank the water from the spiritual rock, both of which were foreshadowings of Christ. And now he leads them into the promised land, the land he promised to give them. And they eat of the fruit of that land. The Father kept his promises, despite their repeated failings to do so. The second reading speaks to all of humanity's repeated failings. St. Paul says that when Christ came in the flesh, his great purpose was reconciliation. His overriding desire was to bring us into relationship with his Father. You know, over the course of my life, my relationship with my earthly Father varied depending on where I was relationally in life's journey. It had been at times completely dependent, right, as a little baby or childish, taken for granted, indifferent, argumentative, respectful, engaging, questioning, admiring, sad, and loving. Our relationship with the Heavenly Father can be just as varied and developing and maturing as with any relationship. But the utterly essential aspect is that we have it, that we don't reject it and turn away from that relationship. In the gospel, the younger son has utterly rejected his father. Father, give me the estate, give me the share of your estate that should come to me. In other words, let's pretend that you're dead, because you're as good as dead to me. And the father doesn't deny him an inheritance. We could argue, certainly, whether he was really deserving of it, right? But this father seems to know that his son was intent on leaving regardless. And he still wants to provide for him. It's easy to look at that younger son and cynically say, well, he only had a conversion because he was destitute. And he didn't have anywhere else to go. Is that a true conversion? And there may be some truth to that. But the gospel does say of him coming to his senses. After he's experienced all that the world has to offer, he realizes that it's all a dead end. It was a dead end when he had plenty of money and pleasures and popularity. And it was a dead end when he was utterly in need and no one could give him anything that he truly craved. Having exhausted the ways of the world, he comes to his senses. And while his conversion is not perfect by any means, it is real. He has come to his senses. And he realizes for the first time his own unworthiness. I no longer deserve to be treated as your son. And he admits for the first time that he's a sinner. I've sinned against heaven and against you. How many times have you and I taken for granted our relationship with Christ and with the Heavenly Father? How many times do we assert our worthiness or think that heaven is owed to us? Just because we have a Father who forgives and loves and provides and keeps His promises doesn't mean that we're deserving of any of it. We're so afraid to accept our own unworthiness. Maybe because we're equally afraid that the Father won't overcome it. Because we're not sure if He really will keep His promises. The older son's an interesting complement to his younger brother. The younger son puts himself at the center. The older one puts resentment and envy at the center. I'm not sure which is worse, right? It certainly doesn't make him any more deserving than the younger son. He wanted to be out there with the younger one, living it up, or so he thought. But interestingly, he's just as miserable as the younger one. Only he hasn't come to his senses. He was going through all the right motions, right? He stayed at home, he worked the fields, he spent time with his father, he kept checking the boxes. But the whole time, his heart and his imagination was out there with the younger son, with the world. The younger son, at least, was pursuing relationship all in the wrong places. But the older son was too afraid to pursue his heart's desires. He was afraid of the father, which led him then to burst out in hatred for the father. It's your fault. I'm miserable, and it's your fault. I've done everything that was expected from me. I've got a respectable job. I go to church. I even pray the rosary once in a while. If I'm unhappy, it's your fault. And those are good things. But if our hearts are somewhere else, we won't get much good out of them. You know, the Heavenly Father doesn't care how neatly and tidily we follow the rules and how we think that makes us deserving. He wants a real relationship based neither on selfishness, a la the younger son, or on resentment and envy, a la the older one. He wants us to realize our unworthiness, to realize our sinfulness, selfishness, criticism, fears, envies, to share them with Him, and to begin to trust in Him. The younger son has made the first step to trust, and the father ran to him. The older son isn't there yet. He's still pouting outside. And yet even there, the father goes out to him to talk with him and plead with him. Everything I have is yours. If only you would see your desire for relationship with me and come to me in truth and humility. Then our friendship would really begin. And this friendship would fill up your life, make it overflow with joy. Then you would see how a father keeps his promises. So here's the homework for the week. I think it's necessary to own up to our sinfulness and unworthiness. So this week, practice your trust in the Heavenly Father by reflecting and confessing your sinfulness and unworthiness. Maybe we can even use those words of the younger son, I've sinned against heaven and against you, no longer to be deserve to be called your son or your daughter. Doing that is what brought the younger son to joy. Avoiding it kept the older one in the bonds of fear. I'm a sinner. And I'm unworthy. Blessed be the Father who keeps his promises.